Turn to page 409, inspired by the sermon this morning, Just As I Am. So number 409, Just As I Am. And we'll sing a couple of songs together, and then we will hear the word preached. And before we do that, I'd like to open us up in prayer. So let's do that. My Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus, grateful for who you are and all that you have done, or you have accomplished for us what we could not accomplish for ourselves. You have purchased us with the blood of your Son. And I pray that we would sing with joy, or that we would expect to hear great truths from your word, and that in spite of whatever circumstances we might be facing outside of these walls, we know that you are with us, that you are good, and your grace will sustain us, and that we have nothing to bring you but our sin. You still love us anyway because you are good, and we thank you for that. We pray that you would be glorified in our worship this evening, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's sing out this afternoon, 409, Just As I Am. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am. Thou wilt receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am. Thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
All right, turn all the way back towards the front to number 10, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, one of my favorite hymns. Now don't sing this one from memory. You're going to want the hymnal for this one, because the second verse is a little bit different. So the second verse is a little bit different than what we're used to, and my favorite part, there is a fourth verse, and it is fantastic, and I have been itching to sing it with you all. All right, so we're going to take a look at number 10. We're going to learn a new verse to Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love.
Hitherto thy love hath blessed me, thou hast brought me to this place. And I know thy hand will lead me safely home by thy good grace. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Alright, here's the new verse. Oh, that day when free from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face. Full arrayed in blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Bring thy promises to pass. For I know thy power will keep me till I'm home with thee at last. Oh, that day when free from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face. Full arrayed in blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Bring thy promises to pass. For I know thy power will keep me till I'm home with thee at last.
I can turn my mic on now. I'm not singing. You're welcome, Brother Lewis. You wouldn't believe this, but that song right there, I had to take a song leading class in Bible college with that song right there. God help me to endure that. And God help those that sat next to me to endure that. But that is a wonderful, wonderful song. And I thank the Lord for that. I've got a prayer request to share with you. Brother David, give this to me. Remember Shane Boudreaux? He had a sister who had a stroke, and she came to church with Shane and his wife here, and she was a stroke victim. It says she's had more strokes and is kind of serious condition. So please pray for Shane and Jennifer. And it's his sister Rebecca that is having the strokes, the way I understand it. His sister, Shane Boudreaux's sister, Rebecca, is having these strokes now. And she was already a stroke victim when she was coming to church here with them. So we want to remember her in our prayers. We want to remember Brother Nate's wife, Kelsey, who has, thank God, the kidney stone blockage out and will have the stent taken out on Wednesday. So we want to remember Kelsey in our prayers too. And Ray Kelly's family, as her daughter Terry had passed away, and the funeral was Saturday, yesterday. So remember that family in our prayers too as well. And so there's a lot of folks when we pray tonight we need to lift up in our prayer time and pray for. It's good to have Brother Kelly visiting with us tonight. He'd been going to Stone Fort Baptist Church, and I had to have him tell me where that was even. I didn't know. And they're not having services tonight, so he came to Waldo, and we're glad to have him here with us this evening and thank the Lord for that. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the life we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, by the grace of an almighty sovereign God. We give you praise and glory because of who you are and the mighty things that you have done. And as the song says, we look forward to the day when we see your face and we worship you in garments that are arrayed with glory because of the sacrifice you made on the cross. So we give you praise and glory for so great a salvation. We pray that you would guide us as we study your word tonight, that, Lord, the speaker might speak with clarity, that we might have understanding not only in our minds but in our hearts as well. We thank you for the way you've watched over and blessed us during the day and brought us back here this evening. Be with those that are not able to be here this evening. We ask your blessing on them as well as all those that are watching online tonight. We ask you to bless those as well, especially those that are sick and hurting. Lord, that you might touch them with your healing grace. And we thank you for the opportunity together in your house once again on the Lord's Day. We ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. Again, we're in the book of 1 Timothy. If you would turn there in your Bibles. I didn't even have it marked in mine, so I gotta get to it. First Timothy chapter 1. This morning, as we were studying through verses 12 through 17 about the grace of God that Paul was so teaching Timothy, making sure that he carried on the work and the study that Paul had taught him concerning the grace of God. And we studied several things about that. First, that the source of grace is only one place, and that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, as he started out in verse 12 saying, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, or grateful I am for Christ Jesus our Lord because of the grace. And the source of that grace was also the source of power in his life. And then the extent of that grace that we saw in Paul's life was what had brought him through. And he had endured all these things and was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ in him. And he finished up, as we studied on through the other verses, with these words in verse 17. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And so tonight we come to that which we mentioned this morning, and that is that we are in, whether we realize it, admit it or not, we are in a war, we are in a battle. And this is the point he was trying to make sure that Timothy understood. As you go back in 1 Timothy and through the other scriptures that we've just studied, we find out that there were many false teachers in that day throughout the land and in these provinces that were these Christians and these churches were scattered about. And as he gave instruction to Timothy concerning the grace of God that had enabled him and empowered him, he's also letting him know that he is a warrior in a battle that is going on. And that's what we find beginning in the 18th and 19th verses of 1 Timothy chapter 1 here. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to the faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. And so we see him referring to the things that are going on at that time and the false teachers that are going on at that time. And so what he is telling him is to fight a noble warfare, to realize that you are in a battle, to realize you are in a war, not with mankind, but with the principalities of darkness and those that are supernatural. And so when I was studying over this again, thinking about this today, I was, let me find this scripture here that I want to share with you, first of all. Let me find where I marked that down. And it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. And this is what he says. But brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan hindered or stopped us. Satan hindered or stopped us. Hindered us. Now, when I read this, I asked myself this question. What hinders me from being and doing everything that God saved me to be? When I look at my own life, what is it that hinders me from being and doing everything that God saved me to be? And I thought about that for a while. And I thought about the battle. Where does the battle take place every single day? And it's right here. The battle takes place right here in my mind, and I'm sure it does yours as well. And you say, well, this battle that takes place in your mind, how does it confront you, or how does it take place in your mind? It takes place in my mind. Satan wants to hinder me from doing the will of God and being what God called me to be. Now, what does he use to hinder me from doing that? Not my iPhone either. Not social media. That was a good one, though. My own selfishness and my own will. My own selfishness and my own will. Instead of doing God's will and being unselfish in my own life. All of us, no matter who we are, we're still wrapped in flesh. And mine is really getting rough, I want you to know. We're wrapped in this flesh. We may be born again, we may be saved by the grace of God, and we've made alive spiritually, but I'm still wrapped in this garment of flesh that I'm going to be in until I die or Jesus comes back. That's my only way out of it. And I find that my flesh is always warring against God's word and God's duty for my life, God's calling for my life, that it is always warring against that. For instance, how many people you think we had in church this morning? You take the early service, the second service. 200? 200, maybe 250 at the most that we had in, if you take the early service and the 10 o'clock service together, okay, including children's church that's going on at the same time as we have the auditorium worship this morning. Okay. Where are they tonight? Okay, well, how does that happen? That happens because they have told themselves it's not important to be here on Sunday night. Now, is it important that they be here on Sunday night? Is it God's will that they be here on Sunday night? You see, there's something that we have lost, but I think this younger generation is going to bring it back. There's hope that I see in this younger generation. But we have a gap in here. It's called duty. It's called my duty. Does that mean something I have to do? No, it means something that I ought to do. Because I belong to someone, I belong to something. So Satan will tell me every Sunday morning and every Sunday night why I shouldn't be here. You're tired, you're old, you hurt, the bridge may have a wreck. You don't know what's going to happen over and over and over and over again. You know what I'm talking about. He tells us these things continually. Okay. Sunday night, we see the same thing happening. We see the same thing happening. So, my selfishness and my fleshly nature says, you need to stay home. You need to rest. You need to take it easy. You need to be with your wife. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, okay. That battle goes on every Sunday. Wednesday night, same battle goes on. Every Wednesday night. It's only Wednesday night. This isn't Sunday. This is not the Lord's day. This is just a Wednesday night. So why should you be there? You don't have to be there. And so this battle goes on continually. Now, let's break it down to another battle that goes on continually. Do you know someone that's lost? Don't we all? Don't we all? Do you know someone that's lost that you really care about? Don't we all? Don't we all? What keeps you from witnessing to them? The same thing that keeps me from witnessing to them. I have 1,000 times over Satan telling me they won't understand, they won't like you, they won't accept you, they won't have anything to do with you, you shouldn't do that, you might say the wrong thing, you can't handle this, over and over and over and over and over again. So there is a battle. There is a battle every day. In your life, and in my life too, there's a battle that goes on every single day. You drive by you're in the hospital, you've went up to visit somebody, you're coming down out of on the elevator, there's someone else in the elevator with you, maybe they're sobbing, maybe they're crying, you don't know what's wrong, but God says to you, you need to tell them that God loves them. You need to let them know that Jesus cares about them, and you don't do it. Why don't you do it? Because of fear. Because of flesh. Because Satan hindered you, just like he hinders me. And so our challenge and our goal as a Christian, as he's telling Timothy here, is to be noble in the battle. In other words, to carry the banner on. And in our life, as this warfare takes place, I don't know about you, I pray all the time that God will give me courage and wisdom, that I can be the witness that he saved me to be. Yeah. And I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult. Hey, if it's easy, everybody would be doing it. So when he writes to Timothy here, he's letting him know there's going to be difficulties. Yeah, there's going to be problems. And when Trad became the pastor here after I retired, I let him know there's going to be difficulties. There's going to be problems that you have to work through, and just be courageous and let the Lord lead you to do the right thing. To do the right thing. And so Paul is writing to Timothy here in 1 Timothy, and he's telling him the necessity of this. What's he telling him? He said, you may fight the good fight. You may fight the good fight. Now, I was talking to Brother Lewis back there, who I do love, even though we aggravate each other a lot. I was telling him that I'm a big Illinois football fan, basketball fan. I watch all the Illinois games, okay? And Illinois got a hind end kicking a Saturday ago and lost. And so the announcers were all saying before the game, how will they act? How will they react? How will they show up? Well, Illinois played well and won the game this Saturday against USC. So they're interviewing the coach after the game. And they said, what did you tell your players that made them play so hard? He said, I told them two things. I said, there's two things money can't buy. Time and reputation. He said, what's past is past. You can't do anything about it. The future, you have no control. You don't know what's going to happen. But what you have is now. Now is what you have. So, reputation and now. So I said to myself, self, are you going to be known as someone that was afraid to be a witness for the glory of God? Or are you going to be somebody that was known to be courageous in the battle, to not let fear stop you from telling people you care about who Jesus really is? And you need to do it now. Because yesterday's gone, and you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So you see, I teach myself first, because I am, like Brother Lewis said a while ago, and Paul said too, the worst of sinners. And so I teach myself first. And those are things that I thought about when I thought about them writing in 1 Thessalonians, and it said, Satan hindered us from coming to you. How many times has Satan hindered me from doing what I know in my own heart and mind that God wants me to do? You know what I mean? And that doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to happen. Scripture says that He's given me everything I need for life and godliness. He told the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." So His grace is sufficient in my life. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." So He's given me strength. He's given me grace. He's given me all these things that I need in my life. My problem is not that I don't have what I need. The problem is me. The problem is this flesh that I'm carrying around with me while I'm still here on this planet Earth. That's my problem. My own will and my own selfishness. We live in a world today that is seeking mainly one thing. Do you know what that is? Pleasure. That's the only thing they care about. Pleasure. Not righteousness, not godliness, not holiness, but just pleasure. Just pleasure. I've already covered that. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time." Now, why did He say that? Let me go back up here to the first verse. "I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving being made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." And then He says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." All right, now then why is He especially saying that to Timothy? Because apparently there was a problem in that day that was being spread by false teachers. As I was studying this, I read, you know, I study MacArthur a lot. And in the Los Angeles Times, there was an article written that was talking about a group of so-called Bible scholars that had gathered together. Do you know the reason that the Bible scholars had gathered together? They had gathered together to vote to decide whether the words of Jesus were true or not. They have gathered together to vote and decide whether the words of Jesus were true or not. You see, it wasn't just in that time that there were false teachers and false prophets. But we find the same thing is true in our lifetime today. And it's not surprising that it was in California that they were gathered at that time. But we see this throughout our world in which we live today. Well, how can you keep from being sucked into all this stuff that's on social media, all this stuff that's being spread across the internet and the world today, and all these things that are going on? You do it by knowing the Word of God. You do it by knowing the Word of God. I was listening to my radio, which I usually do on the way to church tonight, and I listen to American Family Radio a lot on my way to church tonight, and they had a talk thing going on there about the world today and the different circumstances in the world today. And they were talking about the point that the far left and those on the far left are saying that Christians shouldn't be involved in politics. That we need to just talk about the Bible and Jesus and not be involved in anything else in our world today. The truth of the matter is, what you believe about Jesus Christ and the Word of God affects your whole life. Everything in your life. How you deal with everything in your life. What your worldview is. What you believe in your life. Everything is affected by the Word of God and who Jesus Christ is. Why am I so against abortion? Because thou shalt not kill. Why am I so against LGBTQZYXYA? Why am I so... is it that I'm against those people? No. It's that the Bible says it is sinful. And it is an abomination to God. That's why. So everything in my life, whether I look at who I vote for, whether they line up with what I believe. When I go out to eat, I don't go out to eat at a tavern because where I go out to eat needs to line up with what I believe. With what I believe. When Kay and I go somewhere, we go somewhere because of what we believe. We pray before we eat because of what we believe. So it affects every area of our life. And what you believe about Jesus Christ and what you believe about the Word of God will permeate, should permeate every aspect of your life. And that's what he's talking to Timothy about here, about fighting the good fight. That how we believe. That's why it is so important to be doctrinally sound in the Word of God concerning ourselves, because if you're not, Satan will hinder you with lies and deception all over the place, everywhere you go. Whether it's on television, on radio, internet, neighbors, your whole life will be a hindrance to you unless you're grounded in the Word of God. And so he's telling Timothy how important it is to fight the good fight. And that's what he's talking about here. And as he was saying, as I read you that scripture there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, he is reiterating the deity of Jesus Christ. You look at as a mediator and deity of Christ himself. If you look in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 13. In the sight of God who gives life to everything, of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and the only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Well, why did he say all that in there? Because false teachers were not agreeing with the deity of Christ, that he is a sovereign ruler, that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so he was giving him this command that he says here to keep this until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he would tell us the same thing. I I had people come to the church one time, and I had a new Christians class. And it was a couple, and they came from another church in our association. And as I was teaching that new Christians class, one thing we were studying about was the deity of Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is God that came in the flesh, the second of the Trinity of the Godhead. And they said to me, "We've never heard that before." And I thought, how can you be in a Baptist church and not hear and believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, that He is Almighty God that has come down out of heaven, the Son of God, the second of the Godhead, that died on a cross, rose from the dead the third day, rose to the right hand of the Father, and now rules and reigns from heaven above? How can you not know that? So we must be grounded in the Word of God. We must be grounded in what we believe, because you're going to have to fight the battle every day of your life. Every day of your life. And I see that I'm out of time, and Caleb hadn't showed up with the youth yet. So Brother David, we'll stop right there with our online, and we'll have prayer time.